We got Ned into the barracks and flushed his eyes in the kitchen. The skin around them was puffed and red, the whites badly bloodshot, but he said his vision was basically okay. When Huddy held up two fingers, that was what the kid reported. Ditto four. "I'm sorry," he said in a thick, clogged voice. "I don't know why I did that. I mean, I do. I meant to, but not now. Not tonight."
"Shh," Shirley said.
She cut more water from the tap and bathed his eyes with it. "Don't talk." But he wouldn't be stopped. "I meant to go home, to think about it, just like I said." His swelled, horribly bloodshot eyes peered at me, and they were gone as Shirley brought up another palm filled with warm water. Next thing I knew, I was back here again, and all I can remember thinking is, I've got to do it tonight. I've got to finish it once and for all. Then, except he didn't know what had happened then. The rest was all a blur to him. He didn't come right out and say that. Didn't need to. I didn't have to see it in his bloodshot, bewildered eyes. I had seen him, sitting behind the roadmaster's steering wheel with the gas can in his lap, looking pale and stoned and lost. "It took hold of you," I said. "It's always had some kind of pull. It's just never had anyone to use it on the way it could on you. When it called you, though, the rest of us heard, too, in our own ways. In any case, it's not your fault, Ned. If there's fault, it's mine." He straightened up from the sink, groped, took hold of my forearms. His face was dripping and his hair was plastered to his forehead. The truth looked rather funny, like a slapstick baptism. Steph, who'd been watching the shed from the back door of the barracks, came over to us. "It's dying down again already." I nodded. "It missed its chance, maybe its last chance." "To do mischief," Ned said. "That's what it wanted. I heard it in my head. Or I don't know. Maybe I just made that part up."
"If you did," I said, "then I did too.
But there might have been more to tonight than just mischief." Before I could say more, Huddy came out of the bathroom with a first aid kit. He set it down on the counter, opened it, and took out a jar of salve.
"Put this all around your eyes, Ned. If it gets in them, don't worry. You won't hardly notice."
We stood there, watching him put the salve around his eyes in circles that gleamed under the kitchen fluorescence. When he was done, Shirley asked him if it was any better. He nodded.
"Then come outside again," I said. "There's one other thing I need to tell you. I would have earlier, but the truth is I never thought of it except in passing until I actually saw you sitting in that goddamn car. The shock must have kicked it loose."
Shirley looked at me with her brow furrowed. She'd never been a mother, but it was a mother's sternness I saw in her face right then.
"Not tonight," she said. "Can't you see this boy's had enough? One of you needs to take him home and make up some sort of story for his mother. She always believed Curtis's. I expect she'll believe one of yours if you can manage to stay together on the details. And then get him into bed."
"I'm sorry, but I don't think this can wait," I said.
She looked hard into my face and must have seen that I at least thought I was telling the truth, and so we all went back out to the smoker's bench, and as we watched the dying fireworks from the shed, the second show of the night, although there wasn't much to this one, at least not now, I told Ned one more story of the old days. I saw this one as you might see a scene from a play. Two characters on a mostly bare stage. Two characters beneath a single bright stage light. Two men sitting